Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us tonight on episode 11, season 3 of The Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. Evening, Richie. For the first time in quite a while, I'm speechless about that Warriors performance, but I'm sure I'll find some points when we talk about it later on in the show. But what did you think of the round?
Evening, Brad. For the most part, it was good, apart from obviously the game that we put the most interest into. So, yeah, we'll do our best to unpack it when we come across it.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. And while we're here live on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m., you can also catch our show at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to cover everything you need to know in the week that was rugby league, including our top stories of the week, a review of round 9, and an update on our tips. We'll then answer some questions from you guys, as well as some questions we've got for each other. We'll then go into a preview of the Magic Round and make our picks. Before ending the night with a recap of the Super League. I see Simon's here. Evening, Simon.
G'day, Simon.
Remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show, but we may as well jump straight into it and rip the Band-Aid off, if you will, and get into the top stories of the week. First one I've got is Kieran Foran announced that he signed with the Titans on a 2-year deal from 2023. What's your take on that decision?
Is it a admission from the Gold Coast Titans that they shouldn't have got rid of Fogarty and maybe they left themselves a bit thin in the halves, perhaps?
I think so.
You think so? Yeah, handy pickup, I think. He's getting towards the tail end of his career, but at the very least, he'll bring a lot of experience. Hopefully, he'll bring the best version of Kieran Foran because we've tend to have seen the best out of him wearing the Sea Eagles jersey and not a lot away from there, so... Hopefully, yeah. Gold Coast get the best version of him.
Yeah, that was probably my only concern is Kieran Foran's a good player, but is he a good player for Manly and a subpar player everywhere else? I know he's had a lot of injuries and other concerns off the field that probably didn't help in his time with the Eels, the Bulldogs, and the Warriors. But I thought there were glimmers at the Bulldogs of seeing the Kieran Foran of old, and he's really bounced back. Since returning to Manly, I was hoping he'd kind of end his career with Manly. But yeah, he's taken an opportunity. And yeah, I think the Titans, they need, we'll cover it a bit more in their game, but they're in desperate need of some experience to help lead them around the park. So I think it's a handy pickup. But onto the next bit of news, probably not so handy of a pickup. Cody Nikorima has been granted his release from the Warriors and he's joined the Rabbitohs. Immediately to the point where he's even going to play against the Warriors this weekend at Magic Round. He's signed on for the rest of this year and he's got a player option in his favor for next year. What's your take on Nikorima going to the Rabbitohs?
It depends, again, what version of him turns up. We know what he can do when he's on. We haven't seen a lot of him being on whilst he's been at the Warriors, so if recent form's anything to go by, I'm not too concerned about him this weekend. Hopefully he doesn't prove me wrong there.
Yeah, I think he's going there in the number 14 role, and I think that is his best position, and it's something on this show and in my writing of championed making him the 14 for the Warriors, but he always seemed to be very reluctant to do that. He wanted to be a half, but he's gone to the Rabbitohs now and is happy to go wherever they put him. I hope he goes well from round 11 onwards. Don't want to see him do well this week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, good luck to him with his new journey. And on that same note, with letting Nikarima go, the Warriors have also been given Ronald Volkman and Freddie Lussick. We talked about it last week. There were rumors going on that they were trying to get them early. It's now official. Volkman, obviously, he signed that three-year deal we talked about last year. But Lussick's only currently signed until the end of this season, basically as a hooker cover. I know we talked about it a bit last week, but now that's official, do you have any further takes on it?
I'm just really interested to see what kind of role these guys will play now that we've got them immediately. Obviously, Volkman's one for the future, but Lussick in particular being only signed for this season, I'm interested to see what kind of capacity he's used in. Because we had Otokolo there anyway as hooker cover. I kind of thought we might bleed him in a bit, but maybe those plans are on the back burner with that Freddie Lussick signing. What do you reckon?
Yeah, potentially. It might just be showing that they think Otokolo's not ready yet.
Yeah.
Which is probably fair. I think he was still a little bit away before getting thrown in. But in his defense, essentially all the games he's been thrown in this year, he's been thrown in as a second rower.
Yeah.
So they're not really helping him by making him play out of position. But I haven't seen a lot of either of these two play. We'll be surprised if we see Volkman pop in this year. I think it's getting him here early to get him into the system and to get him learning everything first. But we'll have to see what happens and see. For all we know, they could end up being named in the 17 for the Saturday's game.
Yeah.
We'll just have to see what happens. And yeah, I see Mark's here. Mark says Cody loves a debut at Suncorp.
He does.
Next bit of news, we'll keep going with the signing rumours and stuff. The Storm have apparently offered a better deal to Cameron Munster with all the Dolphins talk and everyone saying no, the Dolphins. I guess Munster is slowly becoming the sole target that the Dolphins have left. But the Storm, they originally offered him a two-year deal for $1.5 million, so around $750 a year. They've apparently increased that deal to 3 years with a little bit more money. No official talk on what the new value is. But what do you see, Richie? Do you see him staying with the Storm or becoming a Dolphin? The Dolphins are apparently offering him $1.2 million a year.
Part of me hopes he stays at the Storm. Watching him this year, he's sort of gone back to almost pretty much the very best Cameron Munster. And he looks very integral to the style that they're playing. I'm not surprised given that the Storm are digging a bit deeper into the pockets because, he's been outstanding this year. And I think if you take him out of that Storm lineup, it puts a bit of a dent in their armour.
Definitely. And I know there's been a lot of talks that he would like to go back to Queensland and the Dolphins are offering a lot of money. But we're just seeing everyone say no to the Dolphins left, right, and centre. So eventually some big name they're targeting has got to say yes. It might be him, but I think it's hard to leave the Storm. I think it will all go down to whatever Bellamy's going to do, to be honest. I think if Bellamy decides to step down at the end of the season and let someone else come in and he goes into that mentorship role that the Storm want him to keep, you potentially might see Munster jump ship then. I'm not sure, completely putting words into his mouth there, but we're just going to have to keep our ear to the ground and hopefully we get news one way or the other sooner rather than later. And as Paul say, surely going to the Dolphins means 2 to 3 years of no championship challenge. Yep. I think so. The Storm, obviously, when they came into the competition, were successful quite early on. I think they won the comp in their second year, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't see the Dolphins with the roster the Dolphins have got currently. It's not screaming championship material. And I don't think just throwing a Munster in there is going to fix that problem. But yeah, I think it's going to be a build. And if there's one thing NRLs are right now, it's impatient. We see it a lot with players threatening to leave and wanting to get out of contracts because they didn't get a start this week. We had a similar talk last week about Schuster apparently being upset that he wasn't in the halves when you've got Dale Cherry Evans, Kieran Foran there, and was throwing his toys. So I don't know if you'll have any of these superstar-like players wanting to stick around for a slow burn. But yeah, it's a hard task for the Dolphins, but we'll see. Next bit of news, Bulldog Matt Dufty. He's off contract at the end of this year, and he's been linked with the Warrington Wolves and Super League after reports of no NRL clubs showing any interest in him at all. What's your take? I kind of thought he was going to be Super League this year, to be honest, after leaving the Dragons, but he got his opportunity at the Bulldogs. I don't think he's been as bad as everyone's making out, but he hasn't been setting the world alight either. So it's Super League, and I think he'll do really well over there because they all do. But what's your take?
At the risk of coming across a little harsh, yeah, I think Super League's probably more his speed. Yeah. He reminds me of Sam Tompkins. Yeah. When he was over here at the Warriors, you know, that similar build, similar play style. But I don't think he's not going to pull the Bulldogs from the depths of the bottom of the ladder and get them into challenging for championships. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's where he winds up.
Yeah, and I see Jacko's commented saying that the Dolphins should be the piranhas as they chase other clubs' players, but guess they have no alternative. Yeah, I think I want to put it on the NRL. The way the NRL have given them little to no time to basically, you know, it was almost this time last year we were talking about the teams that were looking. They kind of waited too long. You think like the Warriors and all those other clubs had a couple of years to get everything sorted. And you're kind of getting thrown in and saying just find players, but legally you're not allowed to talk to 90% of the players that can play at this level, because they've all got contracts elsewhere. So they have to be a bit sneaky and sly. We talked about it last week. Reece Walsh said that he's not leaving, but I was watching a podcast today that was still talking like he didn't come out and say that, saying they've got to throw everything they can to get Walsh there for next year. So I don't know. I don't see that happening. But, well, speaking of the Dolphins, though, they have signed a player. They've signed Panther player Robert Jennings on a 3-year deal. But as we're just talking about, they're signing a lot of these. I don't want to be disrespectful, but kind of not no names, but second tier players, and they're still looking for that marquee signing, Richie.
Yeah, you said second tier. I was gonna roster fillers. That's what I was thinking, and that's kind of what this. The signing is a bit of that too. I mean, solid player, but yeah, like you've pointed out, they still need to land a big fish or two to make sure they're competitive right off the bat.
Yeah. And then the last bit of news before I get into my new favorite segments of injuries and suspensions, Jack Bird's reportedly agreed to terms with the Dragons on a new deal. It's for 2 years with a mutual option third year added. Originally, they'd offered him only a 2-year deal, and that was that, which he rejected. But this one now, it's essentially the same deal, but they can both agree on if he stays for a third. Not a bad pickup for the Dragons to keep him on. I think he's been playing all right for them, if you can call playing for the Dragons all right. But what's your take on Jack Bird rumoured to extend his stay with the Dragons?
Yeah, for him is true. That's a good retention. He'd be one of their better players. So, yeah, I think it'd be good for them if they retain him.
Yeah,
they should do what they can to keep him on.
definitely. So that was all the rumored news that we had. So we'll go into injury ward. Unfortunately, it's still a big list, just like last week. The top dog, unfortunately, is the Storm's Ryan Papenhuyzen. He tore his hamstring and also injured his PCL, which is going to see him miss 4 to 6 weeks. A massive blow to lose a player like Papenhuyzen, but the Storm are one of those teams where, you know, we're in the next 6 weeks, we're going to find like the next big fullback, no doubt. But yeah, hopefully he comes back quick. Unfortunate for him and for you, I guess, it was really looking like he was going to get his opportunity to play for New South Wales. And that's kind of been taken away, at least for the first game now with this injury. But what's your take on Pap? He's been amazing this year. He's like 30, 40, 50 points of hitting anyone as the leading point scorer in the comp right now.
Yeah, I remember going back to last year when we were doing our predictions, Brad. I had him tipped as my Dally M before injury, putting into a big part of the season. And he was looking good for it this year. But yeah, again, it's injury's a cruel thing. And I know he's not the biggest man in the world, but yeah, you got to feel for him. The form of his life, and he's picked up this injury sort of just when State of Origin was about to come knocking. So, yeah, you feel for him.
Yeah, so I'm looking on my other screen. He's got 127 points so far this season. Next best is Valentine Holmes with 87. So he's 40 points ahead of his next competitor in terms of point scoring. So, yeah, he's had a massive year so far. And, yeah, Jacko's commented saying he's amazed the Storm kept him on after the injury for quite a while. Yeah, I suppose hindsight's a beautiful thing. A lot of the players do try to play on. It's not like they were at risk of losing the game, to be brutally honest. They were playing the Dragons and quite dominant. So I think the moment it happened, I probably would have taken them off and made sure. But yeah, hindsight, it's a great thing. But he's going to be joined on the sidelines by his teammate Remus Smith. He ruptured his pec and is going to miss 10 to 12 weeks. So another handy player for them that's going to miss a huge chunk of the season. Do you think losing these two is going to affect the Storm, though? Or it'll just be reset and keep going like they are?
I think to some extent it will. But also I think that the Storm are a great team at covering this sort of thing. And saying that, these are two pretty key players. Obviously, Papenhuyzen's probably one of their best players. Remus, we saw what Remus did last year, and he's still in great form this year. But yeah, a ruptured pec's a nasty injury. So again, thoughts out to Remus, and hopefully his recovery goes well.
Definitely. And we'll move on to the Warriors competition this week, the Rabbitohs. Their captain, Cameron Murray, has had a neck problem and was sent for scans. It's rumoured that it's going to be around 3 to 4 weeks. A big blow for the Rabbitohs. They've already got Latrell Mitchell out. Cameron Murray is kind of the glue that keeps that forward pack together. So it's unfortunate news for the Rabbitohs, but potentially good news for the Warriors.
Yeah, it has to be. You don't wish injury on anybody, but a Rabbitohs team without Cam Murray, I'm far more comfortable facing that this weekend. You say he's the glue that holds their forward pack together. I'd almost say this year he's glue that's holding that whole team together. They look like they're being really tested with their depth right now, especially with obviously Reynolds not there this year and new coaching setup. So, yeah, that's a big blow.
Yeah, definitely. And this is probably more for Simon here, but Jared Croker from the Raiders, it's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks after injuring his shoulder. We'll talk about it a little bit in the Raiders game, but I think it's huge, huge loss for the Raiders. I like Croker, and he's a legend at that club, and I think it's just really unfortunate that he finally gets his opportunity to come back into the side, and then he's out again. So huge loss for them there.
Yeah, feel really sorry for him. Obviously, he's had a wretched time the past couple of seasons, and it's nice to see that it's possibly only 2 to 3 weeks, because some of the commentary, you know, you're starting to fear the worst, that hopefully it's not the end of him completely.
Yeah, I feel, especially at his age.
Yeah.
it's, yeah, any big knock could be the last one. Unfortunately, thankfully, it's not the case here. And hopefully he bounces back, because you really want to see him end his career as a Raider on a high note. So, yeah, fingers crossed he comes back better than ever. Also got Sam Verrills from the Roosters. He's had surgery after fracturing his collarbone. Got no word on when he'll return. But it's interesting. I looked at it because the Roosters, I was a bit concerned that the Roosters let Freddie Lussick come to the Warriors when they had injuries like that in their hooker area. It's like, is that a highlight on how bad Lussick might be? They're like, we can do without him even if we're losing our other hookers.
I don't think it's that. I just think that they've probably got a bit more depth in that area this year. You know, they've got a few options that – nice. They've got a few options that can slot in there this year. And, yeah, I think it's more down to their roster being in a bit more of a healthy spot than it was last year.
Yeah, they do have Connor Watson, who's quite handy. Exactly. And then, yeah, last injury, Newcastle Knights second rower Jack Johns broke his arm against the Cowboys and is going to be sidelined for an undetermined spell. We watched the game. It looked horrible when it happened, just completely accidental. I think the Knights have been bad, but Jack Johns is a talented young footballer. So, yeah, a huge, huge loss for him, and hopefully he comes back strong from that. But yeah, did you see it? Did you see when it happened?
Yeah, it didn't look nice. Yeah. I wouldn't want it to happen to me.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, they were all the major ones. There was a couple other little ones, but these are all the ones that I decided were the most impactful on the teams. So yeah, hopefully they all bounce back. But we'll get into Naughty Boy Corner. Just as big. It was quite a busy weekend for the judiciary. We'll start with the Sharks. So Jesse Ramien's been banned for 3 weeks for his grade 3 high tackle when he tried to knock Ewan Aiken's head off with a shoulder. And his teammate Will Kennedy has been banned for 2 weeks after his clothesline on Reece Walsh. Sure, you might want to cover it in the actual game. But what's your take on those two actions?
Yeah, fine with it, mate. I think they were always going to pick up some kind of match suspension. They both were pretty nasty looking. I was more surprised that Ramien stayed on the field for the game and only got 10 minutes. You know, I thought his one was probably worthy of a send-off as well, but probably just didn't get it because Kennedy was already sent off. Otherwise, I think if Kennedy had not been sent off, I think Ramien would have gone.
Yeah, I think it was definitely the worst out of the two. They're both bad. I'm biased as a Warriors fan. I was happy with it being a red. But yeah, it doesn't help that Reece Walsh is 4 foot tall. So any big contact's gonna look bad. Yep. But yeah, worthy decisions there to see them sit some time on the bench. Lindsay Collins from the Roosters has been banned for a week for a grade 2 high tackle. And that was all the suspensions. Then we got a whole stack. I've got the list here of fines. So Dragon Francis Moldo has been fined $3,000 for a grade 1 crusher tackle. The Bulldogs have got 3. Joe Stimpson, Tevita Pangai Jr. and Jerry Marshall King have all been fined $1,000. Stimpson and Marshall King for dangerous contact and Pangai Jr. for contrary conduct. Then Ryan Madison from the Eels has been fined $1,000 for contrary conduct. Cowboy Tom Gilbert has been fined $1,800 for a grade 1 high tackle. And Shark Toby Rudolph fined $1,500 for a grade 1 crusher tackle. a lot of fines there. Any takes on any of that? Do you think the Sharks will feel it not having Ramien and Kennedy?
Possibly. They didn't seem to notice them being missing during the game. So, yeah, we shall see. They're travelling pretty well otherwise.
Yeah. All right. So that's Naughty Boy Corner. I hope that we've got less to talk about in that segment next week. But if it's a new segment we've got, and it seems to be getting bigger every week, so
yeah,
we'll see what happens. But we may as well get into round nine, Richie, so I'll hand the floor to you.
Thank you, sir. So the first game of the week was the Thursday night game. The Broncos getting over the Rabbitohs 32-12, 5-2 for the Broncos. Corey Oates, Adam Reynolds, Sal and Cobbo, Herbie Farnworth, and Cobbo grabbing his second towards the end of the game. 2 tries to the Rabbits, both to Tane Milne. 12-6 at halftime. Adam Reynolds putting on a bit of a show against his old club, Brad. What do you make of it?
I don't know how the Rabbitohs lost this one, to be honest. They dominated all the stats, but it just didn't reflect on the scoreboard. As you said, Adam Reynolds, he was fantastic in his first game against his former club. Scored a try, set 2 up, and went 100% at the kicking tee. He was helped by a massive effort by the pack. I gave them no chance without Payne Haas and Kirk Capewell out there, but they stood up, and defensively they fronted 2. They had quite a few try-saving efforts, but the Rabbitohs, I don't know, errors again, but they made less errors than the Broncos, so I can't really pinpoint that either. They just look like they lack direction. Cody Walker can't do it alone, and he needs his teammates to help him out. I know they don't have Latrell Mitchell. Will Nikarima add the spark they need? I don't know. But it was the first time since 2018 that the Broncos have beaten the Rabbitohs twice in a season.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of touched on it earlier. The Rabbitohs, just without Reynolds, they're looking like, the longer the season's going on, the more and more they're not looking like the same team they were last year. They're pretty much stuttering most weeks, so I've got fingers and toes crossed that happens again this weekend, obviously.
Yeah.
But we move on to the Friday night game. This was a cracker, wasn't it? Raiders 14 over the Bulldogs 4. the Raiders avoiding the fade this week. 2-1 for the Raiders, Elliot Whitehead and Matt Frawley, who was standing in for Jack Whiten, who was suspended. And 1 try for the Bulldogs to Matt Burton. Jokes aside, Brad, this is a bit of a bludger of a game, but the Raiders at least managed to avoid the fade. Sorry about that, Simon. I know you like your Raiders. What did you make of it, mate? Did you manage to stay awake?
Oh, yeah, I tried. The Raiders looked more composed. I'll give them that. They were just missing the spark that Jack Whiten brings, but they got the job done, so full credit to them. They've been on a hell of a journey, so I think anyone, good, bad, or ugly, they would have taken it. Matt Frawley, I thought, played well. As I mentioned earlier in the injury section, Croker, I thought, was great in his return until that injury. Real unfortunate for him there. Still not a great performance. As you said, it was a horrible game to watch. But the confidence this win will bring, hopefully, will get them back on track. I know it will be good for Simon. Simon just said there as well, he was wondering if they're going to have the fade. I had that concern too. They were 10-0 up at halftime. I was like, we've seen them lose by more than that in the second half. And the Bulldogs have players that can attack. So I thought they were in trouble. But yeah, full credit to them. They still can't score a try in the second half. They managed to get those 2 penalties though to help tick along. But yeah, the Bulldogs, they just made too many errors, and their attack's been so inconsistent this year. One week they look like the most outstanding attacking team around. Next week they look like they don't even know each other. I know Burton's new on the side, but he was brought to the club to direct the attack, and he needs to do better. It's very hypocritical as a Warriors fan right now. But yeah, if the Bulldogs keep throwing the ball away, it doesn't matter how good you get your attack firing, you're going to be in trouble, which is what we saw here. But they do have a great chance to bounce back this week playing the Knights. So,
yeah, I thought the Bulldogs had their chances in the second half. They just they couldn't take it. It was almost reminiscent of some Warriors performances we've seen. They upped the ante in the second half, but just lacked polish and ability to cross the line. So lucky for the Raiders that was the case, and they were able to avoid that fade. The second game on Friday was a lot more entertaining, probably one of the games of the year. I thoroughly enjoyed it. the Panthers finally losing at home after how many games, Brad? Testing your knowledge, 21, 22?
It was their first game they've lost at home since July 2019.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So the Eels getting the points here, 22-20 in a brutal game. Four tries apiece for the Eels. Clint Gutherson, Reed Marnie, Ryan Madison, and Dylan Brown grabbing the four tries. For the Panthers, Dylan Edwards, Taylan May grabbing a double, and Spencer Lenu grabbing their tries. Yeah, this was a brutal game. Brad, back and forth. Bit of controversy, obviously, with Kikau knocking the ball on, not getting picked up, leading into one of the Panthers tries. But also, I thought a Panthers try getting taken away for obstruction, which was, you know, could have quite easily gone the other way. And
yeah,
the penalty try actually to Reed Marnie was a bit of a talking point as well. So a lot to unpack in this one. What do you make of it?
Yeah, like we've already used my knowledgeable stat about when the last time they lost there. But it was an off night for Penrith, but the fact that they almost still got the win. Yeah, they had a few calls go against them. A few calls went their way as well. If Cleary's goal kicking was a bit better, they probably would have snuck home here. He was only kicking 50%. The first loss had to come at some point. I just didn't expect it here. I expected it this week against the Storm, but the Eels were up for it. They're the only team to beat the Storm and the Panthers this year, but they've also had some shocking losses as well. So they can't afford to get too cocky here. Beating the two top dogs in the comp is great, but they've also lost to some of the worst teams in the competition. So they're kind of fluctuating like we're used to seeing them do. Gutho was great again. It was really hard to pick an Eel that didn't show up in this match, honestly. That knock on from Kikau, I don't know how they let that one go. I thought for a second the Panthers were playing the Warriors with how the officials missed it. But full credit to the Eels. They know to show up when they want to. They just need to show up every week. Panthers, I think it's you can't go, I don't like seeing teams go through undefeated because you learn so much from a loss. Unfortunately, some teams like ours get a lot of time to learn. But, I think they'll take a lot from this loss, and it wasn't like an embarrassing loss either. It was a narrow defeat, and you kind of need those nitty-gritty games to prepare you for finals footy. I know we're still a long way off that, but Penrith are a team that are going to be playing finals footy. You can put your house on it. So getting a game like this where they have to get in the grind, I think is going to be more beneficial for them towards the end of the year.
Absolutely. Does it hurt you seeing Isaiah Papali'i play the way he's playing?
Nah. he needed a change. He needed a change. I know everyone talks about it at length, about the Warriors players always doing better when they go elsewhere, but it does go in other ways. Look at Josh Curran, if we're looking at just current crop.
Yeah.
Josh Curran was basically welcomed by the Roosters to leave, and it took him some time. He didn't go too amazing like Papali'i did. But you look at him now and you can't imagine a Warriors lineup without him in it. So it goes both ways. And sometimes, like they say, a change is as good as a holiday. And it seems to have worked for him. And always like seeing Warriors players do well wherever they go.
Yeah, absolutely. Over the Saturday, Brad's second team, Sea Eagles getting the job done over the Tigers, 36-22. Seven tries. We saw some nice contributions from the Turbo brothers. So Burbo, Ben Trbojevic, grabbed a double. Ruben Garrett, Christian Tuipulotu, Deli Cherry-Evans, Josh Aloye, and Ruben Garrett grabbing another one, actually. That was a seven tries from Manly. And for the Tigers, Luke Garner, Tyron Peachy, Oliver Gildar, and Joe Ofahangawe grabbing the four tries. Did you like what you saw out of your second team, Brad?
Loved it. I didn't expect the Tigers to get as many points, to be honest. But I thought, despite the fact that Tigers got 22 points, I think Seagull still dominated this match. The Trbojevic brothers getting to play together is always good to see. I think it was the first time they actually all got to start. They've all played together before, but it was the first time they've all been named in the starting lineup. Dale Cherry-Evans kind of showed that he was in for it. It was his 100th game at Four Pints Park, I believe the stat is. But he showed he was ready to play when, you know, the very first kickoff, they do a short one. And I just felt sorry for the Tigers there. I was like, oh, you never expect that to be the first play of a game. I'm going for a short kickoff out of nowhere. Yeah. Tigers weren't helped. You know, they lost Ken Mamalo to an HIA. Thomas McCarley also went off for an HIA. And then they also had a Simbin. So they were really up against it. But Tommy Turbo, God bless him, he celebrated return really well. He had 230 running meters. I got here, 6 tackle breaks and a try assist. Real good performance from Sea Eagles. They'll want more of it, obviously, as they go on. I thought the Tigers looked good despite the loss. You know, if you had said they would lose 36-22 against Sea Eagles at the start of the year, you'd be laughing. You're going, that's a 40, 50, 60-point game there. I thought the Tigers did really well against really good opposition. Great game to watch.
It was, I think it just shows that the Tigers have come a fair way in the past few weeks. Obviously, with Hastings being there, has had a bit of an effect, but I kind of agree with you. It's in the middle of their losing streak at the start of the year. I think if this was the matchup, I think maybe it would have been a 40-50 game, but I think the Tigers have come a long way.
Yeah.
Don't have a lot more to add. You went into good detail for your second team, as I expected. The next game was the Roosters given to the Titans. Titans are in a bit of trouble. 44-16, 8 tries to 3. Tedesco having a field day, grabbed a hat trick. Young Joey Suali grabbed one. Takiaho, Daniel Tupou grabbing a double. Suali actually grabbed a double. He grabbed one towards the end of the game. That was the 8 tries for the Roosters, 3 tries for the Titans. Both Firmore, Sam Lasone, and Herman Esiese was the 3 tries. 24-10 at halftime to the Roosters. Yeah, one-way traffic, Brad. What did you think?
Yeah, it was a dominant display from the Roosters here after a few patchy weeks. I know we didn't get to your question last week. This performance kind of took that question out of the window. But your question to me was about, you know, what's going wrong with the Roosters, because they had some bad losses, some really scratchy wins. I think, it was a return to form, which is what they sorely needed. Luke Carey, I think, really stepped up and controlled the match well. James Tedesco, as you said, he probably had one of his better games of some time for the Roosters. Mm-hmm. Always seems to happen, you know, Origin's coming around. He kind of remembers he has to earn his way. Their defense, though, was outstanding. They kept the Titans from scoring when Lindsay Collins was in the Simbin, which is great to see. It was really just a performance the Roosters needed as they looked to climb up that ladder. For the Titans, they're missing some key players, but they just couldn't keep up with the Roosters. They were leaving holes left, right, and center in their defensive line, and they were made to pay for it. They struggled with the ball in hand. They struggled to get attacking phases together, and it probably shows why they signed Foran. They need that experience here to direct the play. So I know we both didn't put the Titans in our top 8, but they're really showing that they don't deserve to be there either.
You kind of just took out of my mouth what I was going to ask you, Brad. I was just going to say they snuck into the 8 last year, so you don't see them repeating that dose this year? No?
I don't. I know I'll probably live to regret this. You'll clip it. And just before finals when they made the 8, you'll say, look what you said. But I don't see it at the moment. They just don't seem to have anything together. And they're missing a lot in the halves after letting Fogarty go. Well, Fogarty and Taylor, essentially.
Yeah. No, that's so that was the one of the Saturday games. Moving on to the Cowboys getting up over the lowly Newcastle Knights, 36-16, 6 tries to 3. Tommy Dearden, Kyle Felt, Murray Taulagi, Valentine Holmes, Jeremiah Nanai, and Helium Lukey were the six tries from the Cowboys. The Knights actually managing to score this week after 2 weeks without getting over the stripe. Dominic Young, Jacob Saifidi, and Chris Randall were the three tries for the Knights. Knights actually spooking the Cowboys a bit, and we're up 16-12 at halftime, but couldn't keep it going for the full 80, and then the Cowboys ran over the top of them, scoring four tries in the second half. Would you like what you saw out of the Cowboys, Brad? What'd you make of the game?
Yeah, I did. I saw a comment earlier from Lennox saying that he had the Cowboys as wooden spoon. A lot of people did. Neither of us did for some reason. But they're really impressing. They're just rolling on, and it was a good win here. Admittedly, they're playing a team that's probably the worst team around right now. But their forwards are dominant, and their backs reap the rewards from it. The Cowboys are really impressing me right now. The Knights continue to struggle. They were leading at halftime. It was a narrow lead, but yeah, their second half, they just fell away. I really don't know what's happened to this team. We were watching them in the first couple of rounds when they were up the top of the ladder and getting two good wins, and now they're two wins, seven losses. They just look clueless. I don't know what to say. Pong is still struggling, and the rest of his team aren't helping him. There was one moment in the game, I can't recall which try it was, but it was one of the tries the Cowboys scored, and it was just a kick through. Ponga looked like he could have given it a little bit more to Chase, and he didn't. He just trotted and watched them go. I just don't see an easy game coming up for the Knights anytime soon, and the losing streak may continue all the way to the bye. I'll be a bit facetious here and say they do luckily have a game against the Warriors before that bye, so they might get a lucky win there. I don't know, judging by how the Warriors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's been going, but yeah, it's not looking good for Newcastle.
Well, I think this weekend coming, I think they've got a game where they might be licking their lips. They got the Bulldogs this week, don't they?
They do.
That'll be a humdinger. Other than that game, I agree with you. I think it's hard looking at the draw to see a big run of wins that might get them out of the predicament they're in. But, yeah, being Warriors fans, we kind of need a team or two to be doing that so we don't occupy the bottom spot. So moving on to Sunday, the Storm carrying on being the Melbourne Storm and racking up another 42 points this week after they've already scored enough points for a season, let's be honest. So Storm 42, Dragon 6, another one-sided affair for the Storm. Seven tries, Ryan Pippenhausen getting two, Nick Meaney looking really good, he got one. Jerome Hughes, Cameron Munster, Nelson Asofa-Solomona and Trent, I'm going to butcher this, Luero. One try for Jack DeBellin for the Dragons. 12-0 at halftime, and they go on with it like they do. Easy money.
Yeah, my favourite game of the week.
I bet it was.
I'd already go, and we're going to talk about it very soon, but I'd already come into this match expecting my team to suffer a defeat. So I really wanted to see the Storm do what they did to the Warriors, to the Dragons. Didn't get to put as many points on, unfortunately, but I think the Dragons were never in this match. You know, they got that one try with 10 minutes to go. completely dominant performance from the Storm. I know Penrith have been, the talk of the town until this week going undefeated, but I think the Storm are the top team right now. They're the best. They attack from anywhere. Pat, he was fantastic, got injured. Nick Meaney was unwanted by the Bulldogs last year. And I think he's been amazing. He's playing fullback this week to replace Meaney, to replace Pappenhausen, So it's going to be a big night for him. But what can you say about the Storm that we haven't already said? And what can you say about the Dragons that we haven't already said? I'm lost for words. Storm are just amazing right now.
You mentioned Meaney. It is actually crazy to think you're taking one wing who was, like you say, unwanted by the Bulldogs. You look on the other wing, they've got a guy who's come from a team who won the Spoon within the last couple of years. Now he's the leading try scorer. It's crazy what they can do with these players they can take players from bottom teams and turn them into world beaters, and they continue to do it.
It's that culture. The culture you've got there is amazing.
100%. It's the envy of the league, I'm sure. How they keep doing it, I'm not sure, but let's go tear the Band-Aid off, Brad.
And so you want to just keep talking about this game and forget the last one, don't you?
Would love to, but unfortunately we have to go there.
Come on. We're getting there, Paul.
Sharks 29, Warriors 10, 5-2. Nicholas Hines, Teague Wilton, Connor Tracy grabbing a double, and Jesse Ramian rounding out the tries for the Sharks. 2 tries for the Warriors. Dallin Watene-Zelezniak and Viliamu Valea. Where do you start? I'll let you start, Brad. Go on.
Yeah, great. Thanks. It was an embarrassing effort from the Warriors here, really, to be brutally honest. I didn't expect them to win, as I picked the Sharks. But when Will Kennedy was red carded, I thought they had a chance. I was speaking with Paul before the show, the writing chat that I'm involved with. They were talking like, oh, that red card, Warriors are in it here. And one of the things I said was, you can never guarantee a win when the Warriors are involved. And unfortunately, that's what we saw here. They just didn't play smart. They weren't forcing repeat sets. They were just throwing the ball around with little thought. Sean Johnson didn't step up. Several times in this game, he was flicking the ball on the last tackle to a forward. Just silly football. And I know I'm sick. It's becoming a meme on the show now that I keep trying to explain to Sean how to be a halfback. I have never played as a halfback. But even I was seeing there were so many times when they were getting into the Sharks' red zone, and all you had to do was put a grubber through, force a repeat set. You're playing against 12 men, at some stages 11, tie them out with defense, just back to back to back sets. If you're not getting the points will come. Just keep the pressure on. But they were just throwing it around willy-nilly. And, I don't know. They'll play, as I said, played against 12 men, some stage 11. It should have been easy, but it wasn't. And they made it look like they were the ones with less players. The Sharks, Nicho Hynes stepped up and did exactly what Sean should have been doing. And they were creating overlaps. The Sharks, with 11 men, were creating overlaps against 13 and making the Warriors look incompetent. Talking a lot about the Warriors there, but the Sharks, I wasn't happy watching this performance, but full credit needs to go to them for what they did. They were outstanding. It was just, that's a game coaches will record and show to their teams to say, it was basic football. They just did everything you should do, and they did it right, and it worked. And the Warriors did everything you shouldn't do, and they suffered because of it.
Yeah, I mean, you said it all pretty much, but the Sharks just exactly. It felt like we didn't have the ball. Their completion rate was crazy, 37 from 42. I can't remember how many, but they got plenty of repeat sets, and they played the perfect game plan against the team with a numerical advantage. What one thought I did have, and I wanted to just make it a little discussion topic with you, Brad. since you've already covered off most of what went on. Yeah. I almost felt like once the Sharks were down a man, that I almost feel like the Warriors would have done better if it was 13-on-13.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they went down a man and went down another man for a period there, and it was almost like mental block off. It'll just happen rather than making sure it happened. You know what I mean? Yeah, so that was my thought. I kind of felt like we almost would have done better if it stayed 13-on-13. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think they mentally switched off, like so many people that were watching the game going, oh, there's a red card. Okay, game's over. Surely the Sharks can't win here. And I think maybe the Warriors had that in the back of their mind too, going, we got the advantage. You know, this win's easy. We got it. And I think I can't remember who it was. It was someone I watched that on one of the shows on Sky, and they said, like, at halftime, you saw, like, the Warriors didn't look as focused. But the Sharks, they were all, like, listening and getting in. They were, like, in the grind and ready to go. And it looked like the Warriors were like, where are we going for drinks after this, boys, type approach. Yeah, very disappointing. And it will be a game towards the end of the year that Warriors will look back on and go, this is what cost us playing finals footy.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not, but...
Hopefully not. But anyway, that was the round. Glad to be done talking about that one.
Yeah, so we'll go into our picks. If you've got our tipping leaderboard up, Paul. He's trying to find it now.
You gained a game on me, Brad.
I did. Oh, is Paul listening or is he? What's he doing? I don't know. There we go. So Simon and myself both got 6 games out of 8. I'm trying to remember. I think it was the upsets. We got the Broncos wrong, and we got the Panthers losing to the Eels wrong. And Richard, you also got – you picked the Bulldogs
to beat
the Raiders.
Yeah, I tipped a Canberra Raiders fade that didn't eventuate.
Yeah, so it means that I am still currently leading with 48 out of 72. You are 2 behind me now with 46 out of 72, and Simon's pulled you in after having a poor week the week before, and he's 44 out of 72. So still really close. I feel like you and I might differ on a few games this week, so we could see either an increase in lead or a new leader. So we will check that out on the show next week. It will be interesting. But yeah, before we move on to question time, we'll bring up the ladder as well. So we've got a new top dog. We've got Melbourne first. Panthers are sitting just behind them in second place. Both same amount of points, but it's points differential separating them. Cowboys continuing to press, sitting at third. Sharks, after that win, sitting fourth. Parramatta sitting fifth. Roosters are sixth. They'll still want to keep climbing. Obviously, Manly... still a long way away from my minor premiership prediction, but they're sitting at seventh. And then the Broncos in the top eight, sitting at eighth there. And yeah, Paul saying that the big win over the Warriors helping the Storms points differential. The last three games really the Rabbitohs are sitting just outside the eight at ninth. The Warriors, believe it or not, after their loss, went up a ranking to 10th. Dragons are sitting at 11th. They've still got a long way to drop for me to get my wooden spoon prediction right. Raiders sitting at 12th. Tigers sitting 13th. And then we've got the Titans, the Bulldogs, and then your wooden spoon predictions, the Knights, sitting where you want them to stay. So not too many changes there, really. Few teams got into the eight, and the Warriors got a little bit closer, believe it or not.
Yeah, you got to love winning without actually winning. So,
yeah.
Hopefully we leapfrog those rabbits this week.
Definitely. And so we'll go into question time. Did you get any questions from anyone, Paul?
We did, but while I find those, I'll throw in my question first. So there's been rumours that Magic Round might leave Brisbane.
And I thought, you know, a great place for it would be a place that is sort of growing in its interest in rugby league. Take it to Tonga. What a great place for rugby league fans to go for a little holiday and watch a whole bunch of games. What do you think of that idea for the Magic Round, or where would you take it?
I would take it to Auckland because I'm selfish and I want games. I've been to Tonga. It's not that great a place.
That works so well for the Tens, didn't it?
Well, the Nines. It worked well the first year. And we only need the Magic Round at Auckland for 1 year. I think taking it anywhere, as long as it's not Sydney, would be great. But I think we were talking when you brought this question up earlier, I think in terms of going to an island, I think it will go to Papua New Guinea before Tonga, because I was being facetious, but I feel like the majority of the Tongan community that like rugby league either live in New Zealand or live in Australia. I think it's still very rugby union heavy in the islands. But Papua New Guinea's the only country in the planet that has rugby league as their national sport. So if any place that's going to get it would be there. And yeah, Simon said he doesn't think Tonga have a stadium at NRL standards. But yeah, I think...
They've got a new stadium that's just because they didn't host any rugby union games for a long time because they didn't have a stadium, but now they do. So that was just I think they've just recently got one for, there was some sort of Pacific Island games or something they were going to host, which is why they had to have the stadium ready.
But yeah, it's going to come down to money. You know, Brisbane paid a lot of money to get Magic Round for as long as they've had it. So I feel like whoever offers the most money is going to be the place that gets it. But yeah, that's how it works. Simon also said Adelaide would be a great place to take it to. You want to, I feel like Magic Round's the kind of experience that you want to take to places that don't get league as much. It's a real spectacle round. So as long as it's not Sydney, because Sydney has 80% of the games all the time.
I guess the other thing actually you were talking about before about expansion teams, if you're looking at putting an expansion team somewhere, how about holding Magic Round there once or twice in the run-up to help build the audience in that location as well?
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. As long as if you can give that team a couple of years to get ready, yeah, like the 2 years prior to them launching, you have it there to help, create buzz. But you've been quiet, Richie. Are you going to actually input anything here? Or?
Yeah, bring it here. The NRL owe New Zealand some games. What better bone to throw us than a Magic Round?
You're going to be selfish and say Wellington, though, aren't you?
I wouldn't say no.
What a great way to open up the new new Canterbury Stadium is to or new Christchurch Stadium if they ever build it.
Anywhere in New Zealand would be good.
Anywhere that's not that horrible stadium called Eden Park.
Well, yes, I agree on that one. Well, actually, there are some other horrible stadiums I would suggest it doesn't go to as well. But anyway, Robbie, ask you how your fantasy team's going, boys?
If I had one, it would be going awesome. But I don't have one, to be honest.
Brad, have you given
up on that? Almost. I lost Cameron Murray and Ryan Pappenhausen this week. So, it's going. Not as good as I'd like. But
it's going south.
I feel like I'm hitting on a decline.
Simon makes a good point about having to play the games late at night because of obviously wanting to put it onto a good Australian time zone for video for things. And you get complaints by the Auckland residents, the Eden Park Residents Association of five people who complain about late night noise. Anyway. The other question was from Robbie was, what are you looking forward to more, the Kiwis versus Tonga or the Warriors homecoming?
Warriors homecoming.
Warriors homecoming. Not to say I'm not looking forward to Kiwis Tonga. I can't wait for that one, but it's just been such a long time coming for the Warriors.
Yeah. As a paying season member that hasn't got to watch a game in 3 years, I've been chomping at the bit. So, I can't wait to that homecoming. They're both going to be great occasions, but that's that's the one I've got marked on the calendar.
Legitimately.
Yeah, you might want to, you might need to sort of book yourself that disabled spot, because with your broken foot, though. So get in there.
Right. I'll be healed before that happens.
Fabulous. So yeah, that's the questions from the live chat, boys.
All right. We may as well do, I feel like we can probably do our question combined, because I know we're pushing time. So how about you ask your question, then I'll throw my part on the end, and then we'll just answer them together.
Sounds good. So what I wanted to ask you was, given our recent form, do you agree with the Warriors lineup named for this week? And if you were Nathan Brown, what would you have done if you were in his position?
And then my question for you was, can you pinpoint what's going wrong with the Warriors and what you would do to turn their performance around? So we kind of had the same question a little bit. So yours, the Warriors lineup. In my review, I basically had the team how they've got it, except I dropped Viliami Valia. So I had Adam Pompey coming back into the centres with Marcelo going to the wing, and I had Rocco Berry. They haven't really said, someone might know, is Rocco injured or was he dropped? Because he is still named in the extended. I'm looking to my left because I'm looking at the lineup. He's still named the extended, so I'd say he's not injured.
Yeah.
But I think out of the two, I don't think either of them have been great, but I think he's been better than Valia. So that's what I would have changed there. If we had our full set of halves, I'd be putting Dejan Arce in the centres and dropping them completely. But Chanel's still not ready from his testicle injury. So other than that, yeah, I would probably keep it how it is, to be honest, with who's injured. Potentially, maybe have even moved Ewan Aiken back into the centres and kept Katoa or Murchie or someone there. It's really hard. So like Simon's also said, he thinks Nathan Brown has the limit when it comes to teams. The bench rotation, we didn't even talk about in the show. He doesn't know how to, Nathan Brown, that is really using his rotation horribly, leaving his big bopper props off for too long. So that would be the first thing I'd do to fix it, is make sure that Adam Fanua-Blake and Matt Lodge are on for a bit longer, or even staggered, so there's one of them on at all times.
Nice.
And did, yeah, you do you want to... And how would I pinpoint what's going wrong? I think it's just accountability. I think the players need to front up. We want to keep firing the coaches left, right, and center. It never works. I got into a heated argument in my household because they were saying they want Brown gone and they want Stacey in as head coach. Said right now, Stacey is the attacking coach and the attack is just as bad. So it doesn't give me any confidence that he's going to magically make things work. We talked about the Storm culture. It's a culture thing with the players. It's for too long, they've been bad and it's been the coach that's been punished. Coach isn't innocent by any means either, but it's got to come from everybody. And at the moment, they're a bit more comfortable, I think. You can play poor. Like Sean could have the worst game of his life. He's not going to be dropped because there's no one to take his place. With the likes of Volkman and that there, is there a little bit of a threat going? If Sean keeps playing bad, we're just going to throw the kid out there and see what he can do. You never know. It might show us some form. But, yeah, what would you pinpoint? I've stolen it.
Truth be told, I can't pinpoint exactly what's going wrong because I think there's problems
everywhere.
There's more than one problem for sure. In terms of the lineup this week, and I've been wanting it from the start of the year, you and Aitken to the centres. That would be my pick. I think we have enough to cover the forwards without needing you in there. As good as he's been there, I think we really need help out in the centres. You can really see the inexperience out wide, and look what a 11 and 12 man Sharks lineup did, still putting overlaps on us. You know, we look all out at sea defensively, which is another thing. Defensively, our defensive coach, Justin Morgan.
He needs to go.
Yeah, I don't like to say it like that, but something has to be looked at there. The bench rotation, which is on Nathan Brown, I agree with you completely. It's getting hard to defend that. So while you say you don't want to sack coaches, I think we're a handful of poor results away from legitimately asking the question, with it being such a result-driven business. It's just who do you put in there? There are a couple of candidates out there. It just would depend if we could land them. But,
I know we talked today when we were chatting, and I said I believe the Warriors will give Nathan Brown a full year in New Zealand before they make a decision like that. I know no one's using the excuse of the Warriors are playing in Australia anymore, but until you take that grey area out of the equation, I think there's always going to be that argument to say, like, well, we haven't seen them play in front of a home crowd in forever. Maybe once they're home, things will start getting better. But I think if they still do what they're doing now at Mount Smart, I think, yeah, his time will be up. But, yeah, it's what do you do? There's not a lot of coaches out there.
Exactly.
I know I saw comments about Shane Flanagan. He's still legally not allowed to coach, and I joked with you earlier. I don't know if he'd be any good, but it would be interesting to watch a Warriors team on the juice play, because that's what he does. He likes to get all the performance-enhancing things involved, hence why he's not coaching. But, yeah, it's how long's a piece of string. What do you do?
Well, it's not all doom and gloom is the other thing I forgot to say. I really, as a silver lining, I really like what we're doing recruitment-wise. And I think when you start looking at next season's roster, we're not anywhere near as thin in the centres because you can add a bit more experience out there. You've got Nia Kore and Dylan Walker. Who can cover out there really well. And obviously Metcalf. You've got the new chaps that have Volkman. Come in already, Volkman and Lussick for this year. So, I mean, recruitment-wise, I think Barnett, he's another great addition to the forward pack. So, recruitment-wise, I think we're doing a good job. It just depends whether what you want to see. Do you just want to bite the bullet and take another year of making no finals, and then next year, if we're still going poorly, surely the coach is on thin ice.
You'd think so. So yeah, that was great questions. So we I know we're running long. Thankfully, there's not a lot of Super League to talk about. So we'll go into our picks. Simon gave his picks while we were talking about the game. So I've written them down. I just don't have yours yet. So we will. That's the ladder. The ladder, Paul. There we go. They gave us a nice little pretty picture for Magic Round. I see Jacko still was talking about Flanagan, saying he took the Sharks from nowhere to win the comp, and the players love playing for him. Bring a tough, no BS assistant as well. Yeah, I honestly don't think he would ever come and play our coach for us, even if we offered him all the money in the world. Anyway, so we'll just have to see what happens. But yeah, Friday night, we've got no Thursday games this week. So Friday, we start with probably the game of the round, the Bulldogs versus the Knights. I have gone with the Bulldogs. Simon has gone for the Bulldogs too. I think it's really hard to back the Knights at anything right now. I assume you're not picking your wooden spoon prediction.
I took the Bulldogs last week and they really let me down. I'm going Knights. Knights have some cattle coming back this week. There's some pretty good pieces to the puzzle, and they crossed the stripe three times this weekend, so they're trending up. I see the Knights getting this one, to be honest.
Wow, picking your wooden spoon.
I know, I feel dirty.
All right. And then the second game on Friday, we have the Seagulls-Broncos, which will probably be the official proper start of the round, if we're going to be honest. Simon and myself have both backed Seagulls here. I just gone back to my default. If Tommy's playing, I pick Manly.
Yeah, I went Manly.
You went Manly as well? I know Broncos are playing at home, but I think
Manly, they're playing well too.
Yeah, but Manly, I think, have really been clicking.
Yeah, agreed.
First game to kick it off on Saturday is the Warriors versus Rabbitohs. I've gone with the Rabbitohs, so is Simon. I think you have to be a bit silly to pick the Warriors after that effort they did last week. I know Rabbitohs have been patchy as well. Technically, if you look at the win-losses, these teams are on the same. But I just don't have any faith in the Warriors right now to put a performance together, and I really hope I'm wrong.
Well, call me silly, Brad, because I went Warriors.
Of course you did.
The Rabbitohs have not been much better than us, I don't think. And you take Cam Murray out, and that changes things even more. So I'm showing a bit of...
Cody Nickerim is going to score the match winner. I feel it.
Oh, either that or he's going to disappear completely. So I'm going Warriors.
Either way, okay. So I'm liking it. We're picking very different. Yeah, me too. Here, so yeah. I'm going to get a nice big lead.
Make it interesting.
Second game on Saturday, we have the Titans Dragons. I am an ad on this, but it looks like Simon's followed my thoughts here. And we've both gone with the Titans. I've gone with a similar, but I know the Titans, they haven't looked good as well. But I don't want to pick my wooden spoon like you.
I went Dragons.
You went Dragons? Oh, wow.
I'm loving this.
Yes. I'm going to be big movements in the picking comp this week. Last game on Saturday, 100% game of the round. Storm versus Panthers, 1-2. Simon and myself have both picked Storm. I think the Storm, I know they don't have Pappenhausen, but I think they're just showing a lot more attack. And you're not going to sit there and say Pappenhausen's the sole reason for how they've been playing well. It's been Cameron Munster and Jerome Hughes. So I feel like losing Papp is a big loss. But I think they're just too potent for Penrith.
Pappenhausen is a massive reason why they've been going so well. Panthers are going to bounce back. I've taken the Panthers.
we're not agreeing on anything this week. This is going to be cool. First game on Sunday. We've got a triple header on Sunday. We've got the Sharks and Raiders. Simon and myself have both picked the Sharks. I think the Raiders, they got that win, but they're going to need a massive effort to beat the Sharks.
Yeah, this is not the Bulldogs. I can't see the Raiders doing the job here. I've gone Sharks. There you go. We're
finally agreeing again.
We're agreeing again.
The wheel's spinning as it should. Second game on Sunday, we have Roosters-Eels. Simon and myself both picked Eels. Roosters look good, but I think the Eels will come in with an air of confidence after that win and will want to put on a show. So I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt this week.
Yeah, me too. I went Eels. Be a great game, though.
Yeah. And then the final game, Tigers-Cowboys. If you told me, when I saw this originally before the season started, I thought this was going to be like the worst game of the round, but Cowboys are surprising everyone. Simon and myself both picked Cowboys. Are you agreeing with us or are you going with Tigers?
No, I went Cowboys. They're irresistible right now.
All right. So I'm just looking at it. I can't put a cross there because it hasn't happened yet. So we've got a few games different. So Simon and myself have both picked exactly the same, but you disagree on us with the Bulldogs, Knights, Warriors, Rabbitohs, Titans, Dragons, Panthers, Storm.
Yeah. So
we've got four games different. So it will be interesting. Hopefully we see some changes. Hopefully not too many. Hopefully just a big lead for me. So interesting picks there. And should be a really good game of footy, week of footy. Looking forward to talking about it next week. Yeah. But we'll
I don't think the NRL could have got any luckier with the magic round than this, because you got 15th versus 16th, 7th versus 8th, 10th versus 9th, 1st versus 2nd, 6th versus 5th. Five out of the 8 games are teams that are next to each other in the table. So, yeah, you say this is this should be, we say, touch wood, a cracking round of footy. Mm.
It's a tipper's minefield this weekend.
Yeah, it's great. It's great for the sport. It's going to be good. I'm just trying to find. I know Simon had put. Oh, yeah, here we go. He gave me some news because he's my source of Super League. The Rugby Football League agreed to rejoin up and set a new company with a third-party investment International Business Management Group for 12 years. The organization's name is the International Management Group. I'm going to do a bit more research on what it's going to mean potentially for the Super League moving forward. But yeah, it's always nice to get some news from Simon there. And yeah, Paul's being nice there, saying you guys can have a sleep now. There's not actually that much. I'll take note of that Super League news, though, so we can discuss it a bit more next week, because Paul won't be with us next week, so we can go as long as we want. He's not going to kick us off early. So we'll dive into that a bit more. But the Challenge Cup semis are on this week. And, you know, you made me predict if Wigan would win. And I said I want them to win, but I don't see it happening. But they did it. They defeated St. Helens 20-18 in what arguably probably should have been the Challenge Cup final. And then Huddersfield wiped the floor with Hull KR 25-4, which means that the final on the 28th of May will be Wigan versus Huddersfield. And yeah, Simon said he did watch the Challenge Cup game with St. Helens and Wigan, and it was a good comeback. It's a great game. I actually got to watch quite a bit of it, and I was worried for a bit and then happy, and there was all the emotions. Great game. But then we go into round 12 for the Super League, and we actually started off with the Challenge Cup match as a preview. We've got Huddersfield versus Wigan this week. Then we've got St. Helens versus Hull FC, Catalans versus Warrington, Salford versus Leeds, Castleford versus Hull KR, and then Toulouse versus Trinity Wakefield. So it'll be a good round, and yeah, great to see the Challenge Cup final as a preview to kick off the round. Mm. And see, Fiona's jumped on and said she won tickets, so she'll be going to cheer the Warriors on.
Nice.
Anything else you want to add, Richie, before we clock off?
Yeah, don't forget, Brad, it's Uddersfield. Isn't it, Uddersfield. Uddersfield.
Bring the pom on to answer this.
You're gonna get me to find my mum's little video she did about the pronunciations. My mum's from Yorkshire. Absolutely. Yeah. Uddersfield.
Apologise. All right. Well, that's it then. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in and joining us on the Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. For your weekly update on rugby league, tune into the show next week at 8 p.m. here on Facebook or at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Cheers for all your help in the background, Paul. Enjoy your week off next week. And cheers for joining me, Richie.
Cheers, mate. Nice to be on with you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.